This is Butchertown Rundown, a Racing Louisville podcast brought to you by the Beautiful Game Network.
Welcome to the Butchertown Rundown, a podcast about the only top-tier professional team in the state of Kentucky, Racing Louisville Football Club. I am Tom Benson. That is Becky Morgan. Becky, we just got finished talking to Katie Lund. How are we feeling right now?
Really excited. She had some really good things to say about the team, how they're progressing, how they're feeling. And I think that, you know, Racing and NWSL fans are going to find it to be a really interesting chat. We also have some fun and, you know, ask some sillier questions and some great questions from our listeners that they sent in too. So it's really a fun time. I look forward to sharing it with everybody.
Absolutely. So let's not keep the people waiting, but first let's get to our starting line. And if there is anything more sad than coming off a couple of tough results for Racing, it is an injury to a brand new signing. Becky, what's going on?
Yeah, you know, in between this episode and last, it was announced that we had signed South African superstar Timbi Kotlana, and we were all excited and watching her in the Women's African Cup of Nations, which is the World Cup qualifier. She scored a goal. Everything seemed great. And then, lo and behold, she, in a non-contact injury, completely ruptured her Achilles, which is, as you would imagine, a very serious injury. So she's definitely not going to be able to play at all this season. She's going to be getting surgery soon. It was announced in South Africa, and we'll just have to play it by ear and see what happens. But I mean, this stinks for Racing. You know, we paid a big transfer fee for her. We're really excited about getting her, but honestly, the most important thing is that she's able to rehab and come back and continue her excellent career.
Yeah, there will be time in the future to talk about how this signing impacts our allocation money, the salary cap, when she comes over. But the consideration today is just that she gets the surgery that she needs. If it is surgery, she gets the treatment, and that she gets a good start on the road to recovery. Whenever she shows up in Racing, we'll cheer for her. But until that time, you know, a healthy road to recovery for her.
100%.
And also today, it was announced that former Racing player Aaron Simon has joined Leicester City.
Yeah, great for her. I'm so happy for her. She had said when she was leaving and when she was waived from Racing that her ultimate goal was to return to England and play in the FAWSL. And I had no doubt she was going to get picked up by a team. I think there were a couple that were looking at her, but, you know, great for her. I think that she's going to do wonderfully, and I'm excited that we'll be able to continue watching her play, even if it's not for Racing.
Absolutely. Nothing but good feelings for Aaron Simon, who put in a good shift for Racing. Before we get to our interview with Katie Lund, though, Becky, a quick commercial break. And I don't know if you saw, if I know you saw it, but I'm saying that, you know, for the sake of podcast transition, the videos that the team put out from GE Appliances, where Katie Lund and Jay Howell took on Gemma Bonner and Hillary Beal in a biscuits and gravy cook-off with Food Network star Damaris Phillips. Becky, it might have been the most enjoyable non-soccer related racing content I have ever seen.
Oh, it was so
awesome.
Fun.
It was a ton of fun. So today, as a big thank you to Damaris Phillips, let's plug her cookbook, Southern Girl Meets Vegetarian Boy by Damaris Phillips. Honestly, Becky, I am a horrible cook. I am slow. I am not very skilled in the kitchen. Whenever there's a recipe that says it takes 30 to 45 minutes to cook, it takes me 2 hours. And when I saw our Racing players go through those recipes, I thought, I can do that too. So get your Christmas shopping done early. Get your holiday shopping done early. You got your aunt, your uncle, your grandpa, your grandma that you never know what to get for them anyway. Go get them Southern Girl Meets Vegetarian Boy cookbook. They will love it. It is the gift that keeps on giving.
And you know, it is a pretty cool idea. I do just want to say, as someone who tries to eat vegetarian a couple times a week, it provides recipes in both vegetarian and meat eater form. So you get to try it both ways, see what works better. You get to have a recipe you like that you can then switch up depending on what friend or family member is visiting. That's a really cool idea.
That
So
is cool.
I actually am probably going to go and buy this myself. No kidding.
Gift, hey, self-care, Becky, go ahead, get yourself that cookbook, and racing fans as well, support Damaris. She is supporting us. And now let's get to our awesome interview with Katie Lund.
So Katie, we're about halfway through the season and you guys are going through a bit of a rough patch. Can you give us a sense of where you think the team is right now?
Yeah. I know, you know, on paper with wins and losses and ties, it the past couple of games have been rough. But I mean, if you know anything about soccer, I think the stats, and I know games aren't won with stats, but you know, we kind of went over that a little bit today. Like, we are dominating games. We are hanging with every team we're playing. It's just some simple mistakes that we need to clean up. But I have total belief that, you know, it's coming. Like, the progress is being shown. We're together more now than we ever have been. And I think that's really important. And, you know, I believe in the progress, and I do see it. I see it every day at practice. And so I think for the fans and for people wondering, like, it's coming. And, you know, with Kim being new, we have a lot of new players. Like, it does take time. And I think that the results will come. And I honestly have no doubt about it.
No, that's great to hear. Based on what you said, what do you think is the biggest thing that the team needs to work on then moving into the second half? Like, what mistakes or, you know, next steps do you need to take to really make it come together?
Yeah, I think just experience for us continuing to work together. You know, if you look at some of the goals we've conceded, it's because we gave them the ball back or we made a mistake. It wasn't they were passing around us the entire time and had all of the possession. So I think it's just cleaning up some little mistakes defensively, but also just being a little bit more soccer smart. But I think you can take this and look at it as a good way. It's not like teams are killing us in the run of play and whatnot. So I think it's just cleaning up our own mistakes and learning that it's okay to take a foul sometimes and just being smarter, I guess.
Does that almost make it a little more frustrating than sometimes that you are playing well, you know? Like, would it almost be a little easier to have a bad game and be like, oh, we just had a bad game, but you guys have been playing really, really well, and then just in like little tiny ways, you know, not quite getting there? Or does that actually embolden you, make you feel better, like, oh, we are so close? How do you take that, you know, that kind of awkward sense of you guys are playing good soccer, but still like that final piece isn't quite coming together?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're here to win. We're here to win titles and we're here to compete. And so, you know, it is frustrating that we're not getting the results we want, but I think you have to look at it like this is, we have a whole half of the season left. We have time to, you know, make a run for the playoffs. It's not the end of the world. But I think it's okay. It's not okay to lose, but I think the fact that we are making mistakes has to give us a little bit of like hope that, you know, we are still just as good as every team in the league. We can compete and we can win these games. It just comes down to the final piece. And I think that comes with growth and it comes with, you know, talking about it. And it's something that we're definitely working on. And I think you'll see those changes coming soon.
So you had mentioned this a little bit earlier. There has been a lot of turnover on the team, you know, even just in this last month. How does that impact the team on the pitch and off the pitch? You know, does that make it harder for you to come together and if you have to kind of build those relationships again with new incoming players?
I mean, I'm going to be completely honest. I think that the players that we have in the locker room right now is the best group we've had since the minute I was, you know, traded here in the expansion draft. And I do genuinely mean that everyone in the locker room wants to be here and wants to compete for racing and is embodied into the culture of we're going to be a high press team. We're going to work hard. We're going to run for each other and we're going to fight. And I know a lot of people think that maybe something's going on in the locker room, or, you know, there's a lot of speculation about, are we close as a team? And I mean, I think that we have a really good group and I'm really excited. And I think everyone believes in the vision, believes in the front office. And I think it'll only, you know, show more when we start to win. But yeah, there's absolutely no problem with the culture and what we have.
Katie, we hear from the various staff members that you're taking more of a leadership role on the team. You're certainly one of the longest tenured members of the squad. Is this something that's easy for you? And do you feel any ownership of the morale of the locker room, you know, especially after we've been going through and you've been going through a tough stretch over the last few games?
Yeah, I think my role is a bit different than it was last year. I have obviously been able to start this season in comparison to last. And I think that, you know, the goalkeeping position is really important. You have to be a leader back there and you have to, you know, demand the best out of the players. And I think I have a good relationship with everyone on the team to know what kind of criticism works for them and how I can motivate them. And so I think that's what I've tried to bring this year, of more like, you know, even if we find ourselves down the other night 1-0, I think my message in the locker room was like, we still have 45 minutes left. And I think that's a little bit different than, you know, what I would say last year, just because I'm more involved. But in terms of the morale, I mean, I like to, you know, crack some jokes at practice and have a little bit more fun and kind of make people enjoy soccer, because I think when we're all enjoying it, we play better, you know, there's less pressure. And so I try to like bring that aspect to practice and to games, and I think people respond well to it. I mean, I hope they think I'm funny, but yeah, I mean, I just think that that's really important, especially during the hard times, is to, you know, remember why we're playing. And I think we have a great group to that we all have fun together. So yeah, I think that's what I've been doing.
First of all, I completely relate to wondering if you're funny or not, because I try to make Becky laugh all the time. So my question is this, you know, in my mind, when you're talking about a defense, there's, if not one leader, you know, there's one vocal person. And I wonder how you split up those responsibilities, if that's even the right phrase, because, you know, you're the goalie, you're the focal point of the defense, but right in front of you, you've got a veteran team captain in Gemma Bonner. And how do you manage that relationship? And if not manage, but make sure that you're getting the defense where you need it to be while also respecting her knowledge of the game.
Right. I mean, I think me and Gemma have a really good relationship, and I'm really grateful for, you know, her experiences and her sharing those with me. And, you know, I'm not perfect, she's not perfect. And I think it's great that we are pretty open with each other, regardless of, you know, how we think she's going to respond to it or whatever. But I think we come from a place of knowing that we both care about this place and we want to make, you know, the back line and for me the best. And so we talk to each other every day about soccer, how we're going to approach the next game. And I think during the games, I'm pretty vocal because I can see more than what she can, because I'm obviously behind her. And so she kind of talks more closely to the defense when they're higher up on the field. And then I, you know, give my two cents when they're closer. But I think that we found a really good balance of not oversharing or over communicating during the games, because sometimes people just get like, that's too much. So I think we've kind of come to a place where we're at a good point. Obviously can still always do better, but I'm really glad she's back there because of her experience, and she's just a good friend too. So.
Is learning how to talk to your teammates and find the best way to communicate with them, you know, something that takes time and is hard? And do you think that that's something that the players on Racing do well with each other, maybe compared to other teams? You know, being honest and knowing how to talk to each other, not just, you know, communicating, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all have a good understanding of who responds well to being, you know, kind of firm and who doesn't, and just getting constructive criticism. I think we've done a lot of like meetings about, you know, how we're going to talk to each other, how we're going to respect everyone. And, you know, for example, during games, like if someone wants more information, they'll go right up to him and say, I need you to talk to me more, or that's too much information. So I think that shows like how close we pretty much are. Is we're fine with just going up to someone and asking for more, asking for less. And I think that is really important, because we can do it during games. It's not just like, oh, the coaches made us meet about it. It's something that we do on our own. And I think that's what makes, you know, this group special.
Excellent. And, you know, we're running low on the big, deep, making you think questions, but we've got one more here for you. You know, you've talked about having these meetings, you know, what is the best way to communicate? And something that Becky and I have wondered about is that, you know, when you went to TCU, you went to an established team. When you played at Arkansas for a year, established team, established culture. You went to the Spirit, established team, established culture. And now you're here and you are building the culture from scratch. What kind of culture are you trying to build?
You know, we go by this principle of pitch, and it's kind of something that we've started from day one, but our ultimate, you know, goal is and mission is to win and to win championships. But obviously it doesn't come that easy. And so the culture we have here is we're going to fight and we're going to work as hard as we can for one another, regardless of our role. And I think that's something that some people don't think about, is like the people on the bench are doing much work to make this a special place. But yeah, I mean, I think what's special about this place is we got to create the culture from scratch. And for the people that were there last year, like, we got to say what we wanted it to be. It wasn't just handed to us about what the upstairs wanted. And obviously they had input, but I think it's important that it comes from the players, and it's only growing. Obviously we've only been in the league 2 years, but I think everyone believes in it, and the new girls that are coming are already, you know, learning about it. And so, yeah.
Well, can I change the topic to something a little bit lighter, Tom?
Yes.
So how does it feel to be the reigning biscuits and gravy cook-off champion alongside Jay Howell?
Oh, it's something I'll never forget.
up there with the Women's Cup, I'm
sure.
You
know what's funny is, like, I don't think the video showed how much we really wanted to win. Obviously, Hillary and Gemma are more experienced in the kitchen than Jalen and I, and so we were so psyched when we won. And we actually got GE appliances, which I've already set up. I got the Opal ice maker, and let me tell you, it is life-changing.
Why the ice maker?
Why the ice maker?
Yeah.
Oh, it comes out like Sonic ice. I don't know if they have Sonic here, but it's the little like baby ice pellets. And because I love to just like have a soda once in a while, you know, on ice. Or water on ice. Everything just tastes better with shaved ice. So it's my new favorite toy here.
Awesome. How did you end up getting to be a part of that cook-off? Were you blackmailed? Did you always want to be in a cooking competition? Like, what? How did that come about?
Yeah, me and Jalen actually asked Jeff, like, hey, why did you choose us? We don't really know how to cook. And he was like, well, we thought you guys would be entertaining. So we kind of were like, oh, you're so right. So we had so much fun. Like, we were laughing the entire time. The production people were laughing at us. So we were like, as long as we're funny, you know, it'll be worth it. And we ended up winning. So, I mean, come on.
Were you surprised that you won, or were you like, once you got in there, were you like, no, we got this?
I think we were like, ah, we don't know. But we also had like, we were going to do something if we lost. So we were kind of thinking we weren't going to win, but The underdogs prevailed.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, we have some listener questions that we're going to get to in just a second, but we've got a minute longer than I thought we would for this part. So Katie, I've got a question that I want to ask you.
Gotcha.
It is, I don't know whether it's pregame, whether it's in the game. The situation is we are 3 minutes into stoppage time. We're tied up 0-0. We're tied up 2-2. Racing has the corner. What are you saying to Coach Kim so that he lets you go up there to try and get that header, try and get that goal?
Gosh, is this the last play of the game?
We think so.
Oh, I'm just going. Yeah. I'll pretend I can't hear him. I'm partially deaf in my right ear, so I would just blame it on that probably. Sergio would probably be yelling at me on the sidelines. But yeah, I don't know. I'd just go for it. I've thought about it sometimes, to be honest. But yeah.
So how would you determine whether it's the last play of the game or not? Because if you're wondering about the time, you know, in the supporter section, we're keeping time behind you. If you're in the Estopinol Inn and Scouse's house, we'll tell you how much time's expired so you can run on up there.
I don't know. To be honest, in the last game, we had a corner kind of towards the end, or maybe it was the game before, and I kind of looked over at Sergio, but he was definitely not making eye contact with me. But maybe I'd be like, Sergio, is this the last play? And he'd probably be like, yes. And then I'd just take off. I wouldn't even ask. I'm sure he would be glad to hear that one. But yeah, that's probably what I would have done.
Awesome. Well, I hope we get to see that at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be funny.
That would be good. Well, speaking of the only NWSL goalie, we'll get to some listener questions now because we put the word out and we got so many folks. Katie, a lot of love for you. A lot of people asking questions. And one of them was, speaking of the last NWSL goalie to score a goal, Michelle Batos, Brandon Conrab asked us, what was it like working with Michelle last year? Do you have any takeaways?
Yeah, it was great working with her. You know, I didn't really know much about her until I got to racing. So we obviously established a pretty fresh relationship. And I think I learned, you know, her leadership and, you know, obviously training with her every day, I watched her and I got some, you know, things and learned some like pointers from her. But I think the main point was probably the leadership role and, you know, seeing what she went through as a full year starter, because when I was a rookie, I was under Aubrey Bledsoe and she was honestly one of the best leaders. And I kind of took everything that I do today, like kind of credit her. And so I had such a good leader in her, and then to come here and get the more leadership role from Michelle was really helpful. And so I think combined with Obs and, you know, her, you know, goalkeeper specific stuff, I got a lot from Michelle and the leadership. And so I think that's kind of shaped, you know, my experiences, and I'm really grateful for her and everything she taught me and did for me last year.
Tremendous. Tremendous. Easy question, but one that we heard more than you would think from Jack. What kind of gloves do you like to wear in goal?
Oh, I am sponsored by Elite Goalkeeping. Ooh. Great company. I really like their gloves. They're half waterproof and they're cute colors. So yeah, I've been with them the whole time I've been in the league. So it's been good.
Excellent.
Yep.
And Stacy Baker asked, and you already answered, which GE appliance did you choose after the cook-off? And you said it was the ice maker. So let's make sure that GE gives you a sponsorship for that.
Exactly.
Question from Beth Giesel. How does it feel being the starting keeper? And are you comfortable being a leader?
Yeah, I mean, I think this was my dream, was to play. And I think for 2 years, I, you know, got to kind of see what the NWSL was like, and to make my debut and to finally be the starter has been a dream come true. And I'm really honored to represent racing. And I'm really enjoying it. I think this is such an amazing experience here in Louisville. And for the leadership part, I'm honored to be considered somewhat of a leader on racing. And I hope I can continue to contribute and, you know, become even more big of a leader. And yeah.
I'm actually going to cut in, Tom, with a question because I'm curious, even though I know we're supposed to be in the listener questions part. But, you know, you had such an explosive entry into the league in the Women's Cup. Does that help give you confidence to enter and be like, oh yeah, I can do this? Or does it almost, you know, put a chip on your shoulder and make it harder and feel that you have to perform at a higher level, even though you're just starting out? Like, what impact did that, you know, incredible folk hero entry into the league, you know, what impact did that have on you for the rest of the season and this season, you know, as you're really getting your first solid year as a starter?
Yeah, I mean, I'm forever grateful for that night. And I think that was something I'd been waiting for so long. I mean, you're in college, you play almost every minute, and then you come to the pros and it's kind of like, okay, I got to bid my time. And I always thought in my head, like, I feel like I'm ready. I feel like I'm ready. And I just knew one day I would hopefully get my chance. And I'm really grateful for that staff for putting me in there. And from that performance, I think there's pressure from all over, especially with Michelle leaving at the end of last year. It's hard not to, you know, look at the criticism of if I was ready or not. But to be honest, I think the pressure was kind of a privilege to, you know, all the hard work that I have done. And, you know, I'm still not perfect and I still have so much to work on, but I don't take it as, you know, like there's so much pressure on me, but I do want to perform because I do think that this club is really special and we have the players to be a top six team and eventually hopefully win the finals. I'm really grateful that, you know, it happened when it did. And, you know, I feel like I've been comfortable this year. And so, it's been great.
Great. Thanks.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, you mentioned Louisville a couple of times and we got a couple of similar questions. One from Zach Elzey, another one from Beth Giesel. What has been, and I'll read them both and you can answer it how you'd like, what has been your favorite thing to see or place to go in Louisville, and how do you feel about Louisville in general as a community and as a city?
Yeah, I'll start with the second question. I think when I first moved to Louisville, I didn't know much about it. You know, people were kind of like, you're moving to Louisville? And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I don't really know anything about it, to be honest. But I mean, this place is incredible. I think I've come to really enjoy being here. I'm from Dallas, so a much bigger city, and I actually really enjoy being in Louisville. It's kind of like a smaller community where, you know a lot of people. And I mean, look at the stadium and the facilities that we're playing in. I don't think there's another place in the league that has it better than us. So I'm honored to, you know, be a part of this club and the supporters. I mean, we had the second highest attendance in the league last year as a brand new expansion team. And I think that says something about this place and how much this place believes in, you know, women's soccer and our team. And then I would say our friend group, you know, some of us on the team really enjoy La Bodeguita. That's been our favorite place. I think there's so many other places that I can name, but that's always our like go-to, like that's the best place.
Excellent. And you mentioned growing up in outside Dallas, and I'm guessing that you really teased your teammates over the last few months when they're like, oh, Katie, it's so hot. And you say, you know, come down and spend some time in Plato and then you'll tell me how hot it is. But we got some other questions about your time playing there from Tracy Adams and RL Foxy T-Rex that prior to being a goalie, you were a field player. Why did you switch? And what was making that switch like?
Yeah, so I kind of transitioned when I was in eighth grade to high school. I had just kind of hit this huge growth spurt and I was so tall and I felt like I was a little bit awkward on the ball when I hit that age. And one of my coaches back at club and Sting Soccer Club was like, hey, I think you should try goalkeeper. And I'm like, there's no chance. And he was like, no, I think you could really make it. I think you could. And so I like tried some gloves on and I went to one keeper session with all these older girls and I was actually making some saves and I was like, okay, maybe I do like this. And so I trained with one of the coaches in Dallas, Paul Hassan, who I'm still in touch with today. He kind of, you know, showed me the ropes of how to be a goalkeeper and I was like, oh, I really enjoy this. But the nice part was I transitioned to be a goalkeeper for Sting, which was my club at the time. And then I also went to Ursuline Academy, which has a history of, you know, winning state titles every single year. There had been 25 state championships. And I was like, okay, I'm going to use that experience to continue playing outside mid on the field. And so for 4 years in high school, I played on the field while also playing goalkeeper for Sting. So I think that's, you know, that's why I'm so comfortable with the ball at my feet. And I'm actually really grateful that I did that. And yeah, I guess that's how it went down. And then I went to college for goalkeeper, but I continued to, you know, play on the field. And sometimes I pretend like I'm still playing outside. So, yeah.
No, your play with your feet this year has been very impressive. And it's something that, you know, I know personally when I see some of the forwards in this league rushing you at full speed and you seem cool as a cucumber out there. It's very happy for your skills. It's like, all right, Katie's got this. I don't need to have a heart attack because Midge Purse is bum rushing her.
So I actually have to ask, in a pinch, if Kim was like, something's happened, we need to sub you in, you're going to be a field player, would you do it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we play 5v5 all the time, and like, I'll be the one shooting, and he'll be like, Katie. And I'm like, come on, Kim, like, I got to take some shots. Like, but yeah, no, I would love that. That would be kind of fun.
Excellent. Well, we've got just a few more questions, and thank you so much for your time. You mentioned scoring. Bryant and me asked, how much have you wanted to score another goal? Is it something that is in your mind after your Women's Cup triumph winner last year?
Yeah, that was a great moment, but I feel like I got to leave that up to my teammates. You know, they practice shooting a lot more than I do. Sometimes when there's a PK, I'm like, oh, maybe I could take that. But then I'm like, no, I trust my teammates. They're way better. So it was really a great experience. And I think, you know, I would love for it to happen again, but I definitely have more trust in, you know, my teammates.
Excellent. Lisa Benson asks, which one person has influenced how you play the game the most?
I think, you know, in the past 2 years since I've been at Racing, I have to credit all my success to Sergio. He's our goalkeeper coach now. And I think when I got here, I had learned, you know, a lot from my first year at Washington. But ever since coming over here, it's been fantastic to see, you know, where I was and where I've come and what I still have left to do. And, you know, he's been really patient with me. And I know sometimes it wasn't easy for him. And but I think we've come to a place where our relationship is awesome. I you know, I appreciate all the criticism he's given me and all the help and, you know, time he's devoted to getting me here today, because, you know, the first day that I ever met him, we always joke that he was like, I have no idea, you know, what you've been doing. So I would definitely give my credit to him for sure.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Caitlin Whiteside asks, does it ever get hot wearing the long sleeves in 100 degree heat?
No, I mean, I'm so used to it at this point. It's pretty natural. And if I'm wearing shorts and a shirt, everyone's like, what are you wearing? They're like, you look weird. So yeah, no, I'm used to it.
And the hardest hitting of questions at the end, hot dog or hamburgers? And would you consider a hot dog a sandwich? From Swelly.
Oh, I'm more of a cheeseburger kind of girl, but the hot dogs at Costco are pretty good. So it's kind of a toss up, but I don't really consider a hot dog a sandwich. So, yeah.
Tom, that's actually not the last question. You actually skipped one, but that's totally cool. It's from my good friend, Fook Nguyen, who asks, who's the goalkeeper you looked up to the most as you were growing up, or who's a player that you look up to the most now?
I mean, I think when I was younger, I always looked up to Hope Solo and, you know, the success she had with the national team. I still think she has been one of the best goalkeepers for the national team forever. So I think growing up, I always, you know, wanted to, you know, be like her. So I would say her. I think there's a lot of people that have been a part of my journey that have helped me, you know, even if it was the smallest thing. I think when I was a rookie, Aubrey Bledsoe was, you know, the best person I could have asked for to watch and to, you know, like basically was my mentor. So I give a lot of credit to her and I'm really grateful for her. We're still really good friends. So I think it's a combination of a bunch of people that have really helped me.
Excellent.
Great.
Well, Katie, I think that's all the questions that we have for you this evening. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for your outstanding play on the field. And, you know, we look forward to continuing to support you and the rest of the team for the rest of the season.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. Thank you so much.
Becky, that was a super interesting conversation with Katie. What stood out to you as far as things that she said that maybe you didn't expect?
I really liked all her answers to our listener questions, honestly. I liked hearing about how she became a goalkeeper and how she had played as, you know, a midfield player and a goalkeeper at the same time. That was really cool. Very interesting. Wasn't expecting that. And then, of course, everything she said about the team, how they feel supported and how they're building the culture. You know, as a fan, it's great to hear that they feel supported and that they feel really invested in this club and that she feels that all her teammates are on the same page as her with that. So, you know, great to hear all around.
Absolutely. I thought it was super interesting. And I'm with you. I really enjoyed that part about how she played midfield at the same time as playing goalie and how she credits that to her really her comfort level on the ball now, because her kicking game has been, you know, a real bright spot for our defense this year. But Becky, we have not even started talking about Orlando. We haven't started talking about Gotham, and we probably have some things to say about that. So what do you say we cut this episode short now and release it on Wednesday like normal, and then have a second part the following day where we can talk about the games and really go deep into what we saw and what our opinions are? What do you think?
I think that sounds perfect. I hope everybody can enjoy this podcast like normal, this interview, get some good information from Katie, and then tune in this same time tomorrow, and we will have more to say about the games. Sound good?
And what do we say, Becky? This was fun. Let's do it again.
Let's do it again tomorrow.
Okay.